Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
To the Windy City Queercast, show number 582. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
And we can't stop smiling or laughing.
Oh my God, it's so fun.
We've had two like really good days of like entertainment.
Really good entertainment.
And I felt like we should just talk about it.
I only wish I had slept in
perhaps
between.
Perhaps we'll be entertaining. I know you haven't.
Insomnia.
Insomnia.
I'm such a sufferer.
So we last night went to go see Brigadoon at the Goodman.
Brigadoon.
And you know, the voices are what wake them all up, you know. Mr. Lundy. So I think maybe the voices were talking to you all night last night.
Right, they woke me up like yeah.
But the production, it's kind of a big deal for the Goodman Theater to be doing something that's that kind of classic musical.
Traditional, right.
That's right. A good word. But what's not traditional about it is that it's in, I mean, I wish this was traditional, but it's not, that it had a woman director, choreographer, assistant director, conductor. I mean, it's like the ladies telling this story, and it's so flippin' beautiful.
It's
and
so beautiful.
Well done.
The design, the costume designer is a woman.
Yeah.
Mara
Blumenfeld.
Her costumes are, I kept thinking about it all last night. Her costumes are almost worth the trip to the theater. They're so beautiful.
Yeah.
All these plaids and all these, I mean, just for the minute you see people, you are in the world. There's these, there's this curtain. I don't want to ruin it, but there's a way in which there's a curtain that's not really a curtain.
Right.
That they project onto.
Right.
That gives it a cinematic feel.
Yeah.
That's.
And also like a fog-like feel of something
ethereal. Feel.
Because people who don't know, Brigadoon is like this little town that kind of these two American men stumble upon in Scotland. And it seems to appear out of nowhere from like the mist. So it needs to like, you know, Scotland's foggy and misty and heathery and
The heather on the
highlands hill. And lowlands.
Well,
but
and
such
also,
great music.
Great music, I mean, and it is sung so beautifully.
So well, and danced so beautifully.
Oh my goodness, it's really...
Yeah.
It's incredibly well done. I mean, anyone in the Chicago area or people who come to Chicago to take theater trips.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, you know, far be it from me to like.
Yeah.
You know, they have plenty of people to go
yeah,
see the Goodman.
You don't need to plug a show at the Goodman.
No,
but it's kind of like you want to see it.
Darn good.
And it's nice, too, because it's like 2 hours and 15 minutes. Remember when a musical could tell their damn story in like 2 hours and 15, 20 minutes with an intermission?
Because
now they're
first
like
act
all like 3 hours. You're like, really? Like, get rid of the songs we don't need. Keep the songs we do need.
Brevity. Yeah, I didn't even feel the 2.5 hours or 2 hours and 15 minutes. It whipped by. The first act was roughly an hour and a half, a little bit less because it started a couple minutes late. And, you know, usually I check my watch, even in the best of situations.
Yep.
And I did not.
Yep.
I even had to pee and I didn't check my watch.
Yeah. Thank God the Goodman has
I
lots
loved
of
it.
Styles.
I thought the lead guy, wish that I could remember his name off the top of my head.
Kevin Earley.
Kevin Earley. That's right. That's it. That is it.
I thought he was from Chicago, and he is not. He is. He has got a pretty big career. So he is. He is somebody that they found.
But 99% of this cast is Chicago.
But 99%. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think all but like. I mean, it's a big cast, and I think all but like two or three. He does have Chicago credits, though. He has done stuff at Appletree in the past, so that's been a while, you know, because right. Appletree hasn't been around for a while. And he did Pirates of Penzance at the Marriott, and he'd done shows at Drury Lane South. So it definitely sounds like, you know, he was here for a while, perhaps, and then went on and has got quite a few Broadway credits.
Really,
but he's just so easy.
It was acting is as good as the singing.
Acting is easy. He's charming. He's open. He's accessible. And you need that, right?
Who's that little powerhouse who plays the funny character?
Well, she's really great because she's a non-union actress here in Chicago. Who plays Meg Brocky. Her name is Maggie Portman, and she's done shows with Porchlight and Teo Ubique
and Chicago Shakespeare
and some stuff with Chicago Shakespeare. So she really has a, you know, great little character role, which is super, super fun. And
she's great.
The dancers are great. The featured dancers are great.
Katie Spellman is great.
The kid who plays Harry Beaton, who's the main dancer, he's kind of the brooding young man.
Uh-huh.
He was one of the dancers in Gypsy and in Follies. I'm wondering if he was, what's his name in Gypsy that she falls in love with and runs off, who does the dancing? I can't remember. June's boyfriend.
Right.
I want to call him Paolo, and I know that's not it.
It's not Paolo. It's almost a completely different name.
Than
it's almost nothing remotely like Paolo.
Of course, the gays listening to this are going, it's blah, 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 right. Dumb. You lose your gay card, but whatever his name is.
Okay, so we watched that last night, and it was super fun, and then we came home, and then I didn't sleep.
You didn't sleep.
But then we just watched.
Yeah, we've been saving the opportunity to watch the new
sitcom. I mean, it's not new to England. It's new to us here in
right.
the States. Vicious.
Yes.
Starring Derek Jacobi and...
Sir Derek Jacobi and Sir Ian McKellen.
In the sitcom. I'm sure... I don't know how many people listening have heard of it. It's this British sitcom, and it's basically an old school multi-camera
studio audience
sitcom. And it's old school. It's setup, joke, punchline. About these two gay men, one an actor, one a writer, who have been together for 48 years, and they live together in this house, and it's basically them in their house, and then occasionally people just knock on their door.
It's like Friends.
It's like Friends for the octogenarian.
That's right.
And then the super sexy dude next door, and who's like this young straight guy who like just
young,
loves
sweet,
them.
Young, sweet, affable,
cute. Looks up to these two guys, and they just say the most vicious things to each other.
Right.
I mean, honestly, like, don't worry about his breath. That's just his insides decaying.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't laughed this hard. I didn't laugh that hard.
We watched a couple of moments a few times. One about six.
Stuart? I mean, just funny old British character actors that will make you laugh. Watch Vicious on, we just noticed that you can get it on iTunes.
You can get it on iTunes or you can order it through PBS. But, yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, like, I don't watch sitcoms anymore.
No,
you know,
I never did.
I feel like kind of after Frasier, they went away for me.
Well, Modern Family.
Modern Family. I do watch Modern Family, except Modern Family.
And it's a little bit of a game changer, right, with the sort of documentary style and stuff like
that.
And so this is such a throwback to, like, if anyone listening remembers Are You Being Served?
Right.
Or what is Keeping Up Appearances?
Yes.
Right.
The bouquet. It's the house.
It's Mrs. Bucket. It's Mrs. Bouquet.
Yes.
Or Mrs. Slocum from Are You Being Served?
Uh-huh.
I didn't come here to talk to a mingyum.
Yeah.
Somehow that's monkey to Mrs. Slocum. Maybe she always had purple hair and blue hair. But it's like that old school.
Right. But it's contemporary and it's super, super funny. And, you know, and you couldn't have two better actors than,
I mean,
you
these
know,
are knighted British actors.
I mean, it's
on a
interesting,
sitcom.
Right? I mean, it's interesting. The Entertainment Weekly just had this huge thing because Halle Berry is going to be on this new television series. You know,
well, in England, they don't think about it, right? Helen Mirren did a TV series for years.
Right.
They do it differently there, too, right? When they say do a TV series, it's not like here, you do a pilot, if it sells, you hope it runs for 10 years.
Right.
In England, you do a pilot. it, people like it, and then you do a certain number of episodes, and that's the series.
Yep.
And then if there's interest,
yeah,
you will do it again.
That's
if there's
right.
interest, if there's a good script, whereas, you know,
here, we're like trying to find something that'll be on the air for 10 years.
10 years, right. It's like, well, this is this going to run for how many seasons? And then people will let it go for too many seasons.
Yeah.
And whereas in England, I think they've only done one season of this so far.
Yeah, I think so.
If I'm not mistaken. I don't even know how many episodes. I mean, we really just saw one episode.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure
I'm hooked.
I'm so hooked. I mean, this may be like destination television.
I think we have to watch it together.
I think so, because it made me laugh so hard. And I started thinking, we were watching and we paused it because we had to watch the dim-witted female character who is, I was
like
saying, reminds me of
like the British Georgia Engel.
Yeah. And we had to watch her like over and over and over and over again. We could not stop laughing. But, you know, when I paused it, I was like, you know, what's great is here we have two gay men and then they have their neighbor, Violet, who's the sultry, kind of saucy.
Right, but she's a sort of a horsey-looking woman.
Yes, but I mean, yeah. But she's...
She thinks she's not.
She thinks she's not, and she's constantly making moves on the young neighbor next, you know.
It's hilarious. Because not only is she making moves, but they're incredibly obvious moves.
Yeah.
That she's not even apologizing for,
right,
like
right.
touching his shirt. Like she reaches up, I mean, he's this young, beautiful boy
in a tight t-shirt.
And she just goes, "Is it cotton?"
And runs her hand down his torso and his chest.
So stupid.
It's really funny.
She makes him
really
try to speedo.
Yeah, it's really, really funny. But I thought, you know, this is like that structure that I miss of like the Golden Girls or Designing Women. You can almost fit them into their structure, you know.
What does she say? He says, "Women are difficult." And she says, "I'm not difficult. Do you know what I mean?"
Yes, and he is like, "I hope not."
It's the most obvious joke ever, but her delivery of it is so funny. I guess we're like talking about it. People just need to go watch it.
Yeah, go watch Vicious on
Vicious.
BBC.
Also, it's a sitcom starring two out gay actors as two gay men.
Yeah.
I mean, we have not had that in America.
No, we have not. I'm trying to think. No.
I mean, it's fucking Gandalf and fucking I, Claudius in a sitcom together.
Exactly.
Right?
It's true. I also am watching Derek Jacobi on, if you're not a sitcom person, but you like really good British, I would call this a dramedy, which is interesting because, you know,
If you call it a dramedy again, I'm going to punch you in the boobs.
Don't punch me in the boobs. I have my fake like little bra.
You do. You look really good. by the way, you can't see this, but.
It's like a nice.
Yeah, she's got them pushed up and pushed out.
In my maxi dress.
Are you trying to seduce me, Mrs. Robinson?
I am trying to seduce you.
What do you watch with Derek? I'm sorry, because we're talking about your boobs. Derek Jacobi.
No, Derek Jacobi. There's a series that was on last year that I started watching on the BBC. It's not Downton Abbey. And I don't know what you would call Downton Abbey, but I'm definitely not calling it a dramedy or I'm going to get punched in the boobs.
Yeah, you're punched in the boobs.
It's called Last Tango in Halifax, and I really love it. It too was like 7 episodes. It's about... it's about Derek Jacobi, the first episode, reconnecting with a girl he had a crush on in high school, college from his hometown. And somehow through Facebook, they see each other and wow. He friends her or something. And they live like he lives in Halifax, or one of them lives in Halifax, the other one lives in the town next door. And it's about them starting to date. And
wow,
now late in their life, like she's now widowed and he's widowed. And so it's about their two daughters and their daughters' lives. And her daughter, it runs a prep school, is the provost or whatever at a prep school for kids, and is having an affair with an African-American female teacher.
Oy.
And so, but it's not scandalous.
Right.
Like she's this awful, like mess of a husband and these two great, you know, young teenage kids, boys. And so it's as much about like her story and then, you know, Derek Jacobi's, his daughter who lives like in a more rural setting and is not the academic.
I've never even heard of it.
Lovely. And it's, you know, it's not like this high drama. It's more just like real contemporary British life. But it's rare that we see an interracial couple, lesbian couple. They're definitely, you know, not 20 or 30 something. I mean, these are 50 year old women.
That's the thing too about
and,
they, vicious,
and yet they're children. And yet they're children of Derek Jacobi's character. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so there's the relationship of being a parent, but also being a parent, you know, having parents who treat you like a kid, but also having
kids.
What's it
called again?
It's called Last Tango in Halifax. And Pat Kane, who's written many a great lesbian play, she emailed me last week and was like, have you seen this series? If I was going to write a series, this is what I would write. And I was like, oh my God, I love it. And it just started back up season two. But I'm sure as well you can get that on iTunes or Hulu or... and new season is on right now on BBC.
What's our next entertainment prospect? Well, actually, I'm going to... an evening tonight of short pieces by a bunch of really funny people in Chicago, lots of like improvisers, comedy writers, and one of the pieces I helped direct.
Oh, cool.
This girl Maria that I just worked with on the ship that I've mentioned before that I really like. And it's interesting. She's doing, speaking of entertainment, she wrote this piece, or at least a skeleton of a piece, about how popular American popular music has sort of described women's situation from the beginning of the 1900s up till today. So she traces it in a 7.5 minute piece. She goes from like, oh my man, I love him so, to single ladies,
right? Oh wow.
From like Billie Holiday being the victim, you know, like, you know, in the original lyric of My Man, she says, he beats me too. I mean, of course, Streisand
didn't
sing
that. I
didn't
know that, but it doesn't surprise me.
But that's in the original lyric. Ella Fitzgerald even recorded it with that lyric in it.
Wow.
And so it's like, it's jarring. And so she sort of takes us, and so we put together this piece of all of her observations about that, you know, the 20s and 30s, and then in the 40s, women got some independence because men went to war, but then the men came back, and how the music represented this, you know, how when women went back into the... And then, of course, something crazy happened, which was the 60s, and then in the 70s, something even crazier happened, which was the pill.
Right? The women's revolution.
Right, well, part of it had to do with the pill.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, right? This piece came up before the Hobby Lobby decision, too. And anyway, so that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm going to see this if I can keep my eyes open.
Okay. Well, we're going to let you take a little bit of a nap while we do the news.
Yes. You know what? Going on in the theater. I am going to take a nap while you do the
take
news.
Take a 3-minute nap, and then we'll be back. Me up. Mitchell Fain will wake him up for you here on the Queercast.
Do it.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. Days after a CNBC anchor brought up his sexuality, Apple CEO Tim Cook expressed his support for his company's employees at San Francisco's annual gay pride parade. The CEO did not march in the parade, but Cook tweeted a photo of approximately 5,000 Apple employees marching with the company's logo. On the CNBC show Squawk on the Street, anchor Simon Hobbs asked, "I think Tim Cook is fairly open about the fact that he's gay at the head of Apple, isn't he?" Muted with silence, Hobbs then asked, "Oh dear, was that an error?"
Republican Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker is not stating a position regarding marriage equality. However, his son Alex made his stance clear by recently acting as a state-required witness to a same-sex marriage in Waukesha County. Records show Shelley Markhart and Kathy Priam married at the Waukesha County Courthouse on June 9th. Alex Walker, age 19, scribbled his signature on the marriage certificate as one of two adult witnesses to the wedding. Because of the current legal situation involving marriage equality in Wisconsin, it's not clear whether the same-sex marriages performed last month will hold up in court.
In Indiana, Judge Valerie Haughton granted the state's first same-sex divorce. The ruling, which actually came during a 3-day window when same-sex marriage was legal in Indiana, brought an official end to the broken personal and legal relationship of former Indianapolis resident Melanie Davis and Angela Summers. The couple's split involved a long, tangled journey through the Indiana court system. In fact, legal experts say it may be years before another same-sex couple is able to secure a divorce in that state.
Chicago Alderman Deb Mell, who has passionately fought for marriage equality as a state rep and activist, posted on social media that her marriage to Christian Mell is ending. The couple had been married in Iowa in 2011, followed by a ceremony on Chicago's north side.
A hearing for a high-profile lawsuit that challenges Florida's constitutional ban on marriage equality took place in Miami. Like others filed across the country, the lawsuit contends the gay marriage ban added by voters to the state constitution is discriminatory and violates equal protection guarantees. Currently, 19 states have allowed same-sex marriage.
In Chicago, Alderman Tom Tunney has said he is not afraid to consider a change of venue for Chicago's Pride Parade. We hear from our residents that they don't feel safe in their neighborhood, said Tunney. He added, if there's an option to go downtown, will that make the conduct of the fans more reasonable? I'm not afraid to look at it. More than 1 million people took part in the celebration this year. Organizers said there were no major incidences, and Chicago police said there were relatively few arrests. But concerns that the parade might have outgrown Lakeview have led to the suggestion that the parade might be more appropriately carried out downtown.
A man suspected of the murder of a transgender woman turned himself in to Cincinnati police. Quamar Edwards was arrested and charged with murder in the shooting death of 28-year-old Tiffany Edwards, no relation, whose body was discovered by a sanitation worker on a Cincinnati street. Tiffany Edwards' death is the fourth murder of a transgender woman in Ohio in the past 18 months.
Cleveland, Ohio, the site of this year's Gay Games, will host the 2016 Republican National Convention, beating out Dallas for the final nod. Republican officials wanted an earlier convention in 2016 to allow the nominee to pivot more quickly to the general election.
The ACLU of Northern California and Transgender Law Center, along with 22 other organizations, submitted a letter to Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials seeking an end to what they call the degrading treatment of immigrants. The letter calls for safety, freedom from excessive shackling, adequate food and water, access to restrooms, and a reasonable amount of sleep for immigrants being transported to San Francisco.
The attorney who led San Francisco deputy city attorneys in intervening in the federal challenge of Prop 8 was nominated to California's first District Court of Appeal. Jerry Brown announced that he would appoint Teresa M. Stewart to the post, making her California's first lesbian-identified appellate court justice. Stewart has worked at the city attorney's office since 2002.
In world news, Australia's first gay rugby union team, the Sydney Convicts, made history July 6th. When it became the first gay rugby team in the world to play as part of a professional match. Also, as part of the event, Allianz aired a 30-second anti-homophobia TV advertisement during the Waratahs Highlander game that featured some of the most well-known athletes in world sport.
In Australia, a University of Melbourne study shows that children of same-sex parents have above-average health and well-being. The research was based on data from the Australian study Child Health in Same-Sex Families, which involved input from 315 same-sex parents out of 390 and a total of 500 children. Of these participating families, 80% had female parents, while 18% had male partners. 11% of gay men and 33% of lesbian women in Australia have children.
Northern Ireland's Equality Commission is pursuing legal action against a Belfast bakery that is claiming Christianity as justification for its refusal to decorate a cake celebrating marriage equality. Daniel MacArthur, the 24-year-old manager at Asher's Baking Company in Newtown Abbey, told a broadcasting agency that his shop does not endorse the so-called redefinition of marriage. The design the customer in this case wanted included an image of Sesame Street's Bert and Ernie, as well as text that read, support gay marriage, and the logo of an LGBT equality group called Queer Space.
The UN will begin recognizing staff members' legal same-sex unions according to the laws where the union was established. The change was detailed in a policy statement issued from the UN Secretary General, who said, human rights are at the core of the mission of the UN. I am proud to stand for greater equality for all staff, and I call on all members of our UN family to unite in rejecting homophobia as discrimination that can never be tolerated at our workplace.
In entertainment news, RuPaul is interested in hosting a UK version of RuPaul's Drag Race. RuPaul confirmed that English television and radio presenter Jonathan Ross has bought rights to do a version of the popular U.S. show in Britain. However, the idea is still in the works and has yet to be formally pitched to a network.
Chris Colfer hasn't sung his swan song on Fox's Glee. Posts on the actor's official Facebook and Twitter feeds stating he was leaving Glee apparently turned out to be false and the result of his accounts being hacked. A representative from show producers 20th Century Fox Television said rumors of his dismissal from Glee could not be further from the truth. We love Chris and look forward to working with him again this season.
Judge Judy recently dealt with a case involving the gay dating app Grindr. Defendant Adam Murphy was sued for not paying back a loan from an older friend. Although the judge called Murphy out on his description of Grindr, she dismissed the case against him. Although Murphy lied about the plaintiff being like a mentor to him, the plaintiff never laid out any terms for the money to be repaid.
Ex-NFL player Brad Thorson has come out as gay on his blog. He posted, "Today, I'm putting it in writing and not looking back. I'm gay. I'm also an athlete. For years, I struggled to unite these two identities in my own mind. Not until after my professional athletic career came to an end did I allow myself to understand my sexuality." Thorson signed with the Arizona Cardinals in 2011. However, he was put on the injured reserve list when he broke his foot and never played in a regular season game.
Paul Mazursky, the Oscar-nominated writer-director behind such films as Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, An Unmarried Woman, and Down and Out in Beverly Hills, died at the age of 84 of pulmonary cardiac arrest. Mazursky wrote and directed most of his 17 films and acted in nearly all of them.
The forthcoming Broadway production of On the Town and Fox's So You Think You Can Dance have teamed to offer the winner of season 11 a role in the Broadway revival, which begins performances September 20th at the Lyric Theater. The show's winner will be offered the opportunity to join the On the Town cast in spring of 2015. The iconic musical comedy that Leonard Bernstein, Betty Comden, Adolph Green, and Jerome Robbins created will officially open October 16th at the Lyric.
Brian Thompson, a 39-year-old gay auto designer who has had Nissan manufacture several of his designs, is one of the people competing on the True TV television series Motor City Masters. Thompson has designed video sets for Katy Perry and has transformed everything from tough trucks to charming Airstream campers and from high-flying executive jet interiors to far-out Hollywood set designs. The show's winner will receive $100,000 and a new 2014 Camaro Z28.
Fashion designer and former Project Runway winner Christian Siriano disputes Melissa McCarthy's claims that she couldn't find anybody to make a dress for her to wear to the 2012 Academy Awards. Siriano said he met with her people, attempted to collaborate with McCarthy on an Oscars gown. He told the New York Daily News, "Quite frankly, she was difficult to work with. She wanted some specific things that I thought would not look good on her body, and she was not comfortable with them in the end."
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, Chicago, it's Adina Menzel, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater, music, dance, art, performance, provocative, hilarious, exciting, queer, innovative, campy, edgy, original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 14th, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Jennifer Nettles' That Girl Tour is coming to River Edge Park in Aurora Friday, August 29th. Sugarland's Jennifer Nettles live in concert, also featuring folk rock music duo The Indigo Girls and singer-songwriter Brandi Clark. River Edge in Aurora, just 3 miles south of I-88 and across from the Metro station. Tickets at riveredgeaurora.com. That's riveredgeaurora.com.
Juno is a treasure. Discover it. Says the Chicago Sun-Times about Timeline Theater's Chicago premiere of the musical based on the celebrated Irish play Juno and the Paycock. "It's hugely entertaining," declares the Daily Herald, and the Wall Street Journal says, "Seize this opportunity while you can. There are just 2 weeks left. Juno must close July 27th. Save $5 with the code WINDYCITY5. Visit timelinetheater.com.
Steppenwolf Theater presents The Qualms, a new comedy that explores the eternal struggle for power, status, and getting laid. Tickets start at $20. Get your seats at steppenwolf.org. Don't miss The Qualms, playing now at Steppenwolf.
Main Stage in Rogers Park presents America's favorite drag a cappella group, the Kinsey Six, performing their new show, America's Next Top Bachelor Housewife Celebrity Hoarder Makeover Star Gone Wild. Two shows only on August 1st. Tickets at MAYNEstage.com. Don't miss the Kinsey Six. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Mitchell, we...
What?
Are you awake?
Yeah, I'm awake now.
Hello?
I'm awake.
Good morning.
Good morning. Is it morning?
Do
what
I
time
have coffee
is it?
For you? I don't know.
I have to make coffee.
It can be whatever time it is for the person listening.
I guess it's two. I guess it's true.
It's whatever time
it
is.
I do need some caffeine.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I want to... We kind of shortchanged the conversation about the Hobby Lobby story, and since then, you and I, in passing in the back of the house and in and out the door, we keep talking about it in snippets, right? Because I was also, I guess, as we're extolling, public television is essentially what I'm telling you all to watch today. Right. Like, if you make any $25 donation to any institution or non-for-profit mm-hmm. in your year, public television is a really good one to do, honestly. But I watched a great documentary that I was telling you about called The Day It Snowed in Miami, which is kind of a reference of like this day where you can't believe something happened, really, like, you know,
or when pigs fly.
When pigs fly type of thing. And it really takes the gay civil rights movement starting in the 50s in Miami. And it kind of takes the trajectory. You were kind of talking about it just with music and with women before our break. But it kind of takes this trajectory of, like, you know, kids being spoken to at schools in Miami. They have video of it, you know, Dade County representatives talking about, you know, if you are cavorting with a known homosexual, or if you have been, you know, had any kind of homosexual,
contact
with young boys your age, you better stop it right now because it might make you queer. And, you know, they have actual video of, like, lectures of kids,
yeah,
you know, in
videos.
School, right? And then going from that to some really cool Jewish straight woman who, you know, landed an ordinance to kind of protect gay people in Miami,
right,
the same way they were protecting Jewish people at the time and
right.
and everybody else
right.
that was moving into, right. right, that was moving into Miami. And why Miami's interesting is because it is this transitional town, right? With everything, the immigration issues, it kind of crosses so many sectors of different religions,
right,
whether it be Protestant, Catholic,
right,
Jewish,
right,
you know, and then different cultures and different languages
and young
kind
people
of this
and
unique
old people together.
Way. Right. So it goes through the Anita Bryant story, you know, the AIDS outbreak and on and on and on. And you and I were talking about it, and you were like, you know, but it's happening again. Like, it's happening again with this Hobby Lobby thing.
It is, you know.
Because obviously the Hobby Lobby thing is actually not about us as gays
right now.
I understand that, but I'm just saying we have to kind of give the women a little bit of their due, that it's honestly, you know, this is a women's issue right now, and I would love to see women's organizations and groups being hugely outraged, which I know they are.
Right.
We're not just a women's podcast, so we're not going to talk about that. But
right.
but quickly what followed suit is that other communities or groups started going, well, what if you fill in the blank? What
right.
if you don't approve of this?
They didn't even have to, though, because 48 hours after the Hobby Lobby initial decision about birth control, they started to make other decisions where originally my understanding was that the justices Alito specifically was very careful the day that it happened that this is a very narrow decision. This applies to a very narrow group of people. This applies to a privately owned business,
right? Privately owned companies,
and then
who can,
within 48 hours, that promise of narrow focus was widened almost immediately, prompting Sotomayor to say, "We're an organization that you are supposed to be able to trust, and guess what? You can't trust us." Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what she just said, that she's so horrified by what happened in the decision, and in 48 hours, these same gentlemen, which I use, I'm not actually doing air quotes, so don't get mad at me, but I'm using air quotes.
I'd have to punch you in the boot.
Exactly.
If you did.
Actually,
and his boobs look really good.
I got mine kind of out too.
Are you trying to seduce me, Mitchell?
Yes,
Fain?
I am. Mine are out.
You're far
more slightly hairier than yours.
Slightly.
I do.
Just slightly.
I am a little bit unzipped.
I'm plucked. I'm all good.
But I use gentlemen, ironically. But so it is happening that the Affordable Care Act provided contraceptive care or sort of comprehensive health care for women, which of course includes reproductive medication or control over their women's reproductive systems. And then, boom, this thing knocks it down. So what are we going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, how do we reverse this? How do we stop this?
Well, I don't know, because, you know, it's really complicated when week after week after week here on the podcast, you know, I often have news, and honestly, I get so much news that you know, the segment that you just listened to with me and Kirk, you know, is half you were asleep, but I'm talking to the other people listening.
Oh, I thought you were talking
in the conversation, not just you and me, but you know, it's 50%, and so I have to call through it and go, what are we going to talk about? Because we have a lot of news that affects and impacts the LGBT community these days in the world and in the nation and in entertainment. So, but there are so many stories of, like, this small bakery in this state won't, you know, refuse to do the wedding cake, or this small business decided they won't, like, let you stay at their B&B, or this small. And so,
well, you know,
are those all
going
to be, like, privately owned businesses that, you know?
Well, I think Pat Quinn, governor of Illinois, just today, if I'm not mistaken, as I was listening to my hazy, sleep-deprived state, is trying to put a referendum into the next state election to ask the people of Illinois whether or not they will go along with that. In other words, Illinois may, with states' rights, ignore what
the Supreme Court did.
Just did. It just happened today. He's announced. He's added. He's putting forward
way
this
to go, Quinn.
I know.
He's the front forefront here in the Midwest.
I know, but is he? I mean, let's keep our fingers crossed that he's not the, like, 20th Illinois governor who wrote to go to jail.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's going to go to jail. I don't think he's going to go to jail. But I think that, you know, this is, like, that is exactly what needs to happen, is that state by state governors need to go, this is crazy, and this is bad for business. This is bad for our state. Mm-hmm. Bigotry and hatred or
well, just a bunch of men deciding what to do. Just a bunch of men deciding what women can do with their bodies.
Well,
fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, I will
Sorry,
say
Mr. Matheny.
No, that's okay. Speaking of my dad constantly, you know, I grew up moderately Methodist, so though I grew up spiritual or religious or in a church, which I did, you know, we never talked about, I mean, the town that I was from would have thought homosexuality was bad, but I never heard that in my church. Do you know what I mean?
Right,
like, we don't really talk about, like, a lot. You know, we're like, you can drink. Don't overdrink and make it messy for us. We don't like mess. Like, we don't like mess.
Don't make a mess.
You know, don't make a mess. But, like, I never heard, like, you know, it's horrible to have an abortion. It's horrible to be gay. It's horrible to be non-Christian. I never heard these things. I just kind of heard, these are some good principles to live by. This is the stories and the account and the literature and the hymns through which we kind of support that. And go be good people. Like, do unto others as you. I mean, that's honestly how I feel like I was raised.
Can you sing Shall We Gather at the River?
No, I can't.
You don't know that's such a Methodist
song. No, but I love that you can sing it. It's why we were destined to.
Shall we gather at the river?
You just earned so many points with my father. He probably sings it once a week. But my dad, I remember my dad one time, you know, I was older and we were discussing issues, and that was exactly what my father said. My father was like, I don't know why. any man has any opinion or any should say anything about that issue. That is, we should just put women all in a room and make them deal with it. Because it's a women's issue. It has nothing to do with us. And my dad was very adamant about it. He was like, he never understood. I mean, obviously, too, because my dad doesn't like messy either. So he probably was like, I don't even want to think about it. I want to think about it. You guys go deal with it.
Such a valid point.
But I mean,
one of the major ironies, of course, is that vasectomies and
Viagra, all this
you don't want abortions? Stop giving old men erections.
This is right.
I mean, I think that there should be Viagra. I mean, I think that all should be covered. But you have it to have it one way, not the other.
Yeah. Well, it's always been sexist. It's always been about sexism and the patriarchy thinking that they can control that which they have no opinion.
And not just in the law, in the medical world. I mean,
everywhere. Everywhere.
It's this whole thing that just came up a couple of years ago in which the doctors have finally figured out that women present very differently when they're having a heart attack than men do.
Uh-huh.
And yet there had been no research, which is, Streisand created that, the Streisand heart, woman's heart. But
I love that it always goes back to Barbara.
Well, it's the Tao of Barbara. And it's the way.
It's the way.
But my point is that...
You are religious and you do have a church.
It's the Tao of Barbara.
Mother,
the daughter, and the holy Jewess. the idea that medicine has been so sexist.
That's right.
They didn't even study the way in which women's bodies respond.
No.
Right? They were like, heart attacks. They must all happen this way. Come to find out, they were only studying men.
That's right. Well, and that's... I mean, once again, we're talking entertainment, but pop culture really teaches you a lot. Don't worry about your kids watching TV. Masters of Sex, this new wonderful television series, which is coming back this week.
What's that actress name? He played David Frost?
Yeah. Oh, you just told...
I can't remember.
Anyhow.
He's wonderful.
Fantastic.
He was also... He played Tony Blair in The Queen and that actor. He's marvelous.
Brilliant. And he plays, this whole thing is Masters and Johnson and how they came to meet one another. And it's true. It's based on true accounts of how, the doctor met the assistant / secretary who became his, his right hand.
Right.
No pun intended.
Sometimes they use the left just to feel like someone else is doing it.
Just to feel like you can.
Listen, if you got to live from hand to mouth, you might as well be ambidextrous.
Absolutely. And about how they began researching sex and then fell in love and then, became this, lifelong.
I don't want to give away any things, but are you up to date?
Yeah,
I mean, what about that
show?
Don't say anything because I'm going to ruin it for people to see it, but about the little Beau Bridges surprise?
I mean, the whole thing is really interesting. It's dealing with all aspects of sexuality.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the best performances in the show are Beau Bridges and Allison Janney, I think she's nominated for an Emmy, but she just won some television award for that role. And I mean,
she's fantastic.
But what's interesting about that is, at the end of the first season last year, what they started introducing was this other character who's and just how hard it was for her to even be on this study with him. Like they want to discount her.
She was a secretary.
Right. I mean, this is kind of what we see in like a Mad Men, but it's really great because I think for people in our generation to understand that's our parents' generation.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the imprint that is of which we are born, right? Like we are born of an idea that is birthed in that, right?
Yeah.
And we've had to fight really, really hard against it as women or as GLBT people.
You used the word last time we spoke. You a couple of times you used the word imprint.
Yeah.
That women.
It's really
parents,
become a word.
Our
that I'm...
mother's generation were imprinted with, especially my mother being a little bit older than yours, I think.
How old is your mom? My mom. Do you care, Mom? My mom will be 78 this year.
My mother passed away at 78. So yeah, I guess they're around the same age.
Yeah.
But it's sort of imprinted on my mother's generation of what the limitations were.
That's right. That's right.
And then just the generation below her, and I'm not even talking my sister. I'm talking in between. Was a more sense of a greater sense of entitlement or a greater sense of possibility.
Well, that was the Steinem generation.
Right.
Right after your mother and my mother is the Steinem generation.
Right.
It is the spark, and then we had the revolt, which is the Reagan generation, which is the people who are just a little, who is that next generation in between us and then our generation. Yeah. You know, so it's really interesting. But the whole point of that was that now they're starting to expose, because there's another fantastic doctor, OBGYN doctor, right, in the practice. And, you know, and we're she is viciously and ferociously trying to fight for pap smears.
Right,
and this is real, right? And it costs like nothing. But, you know, they weren't willing to do this kind of, or even give this credence, because it was a woman trying to do it, and it was for women, and it was
women's health.
And this is different. Let's face this Hobby Lobby thing is no different.
All men come out of vaginas and they spend their entire life trying to get back into them, but God forbid we talk about them.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Right?
Yeah.
The sort of, and I obviously I don't feel this way, but like the sort of cultural ick factor that men feel talking about women's bodies and vaginas and the way that they work is so childish.
Yep.
I mean, really, you still get just titters. You men still are not mature enough culturally to talk about women's bodies.
Yeah.
So much so that they keep making rules. It reminds me of, speaking of entertainment, I'm going to blank on the name of the movie. Although I think, oh no, I'm not going to. It's called Ramblin' Rose.
Oh, I love Ramblin' Rose. Okay. So Laura Dern. Rose,
right, Laura Dern. So there's that moment where they basically want to sterilize her because she's very sexual.
Yep.
And she makes men feel weird. And there's a moment where Robert Duvall, as the doctor,
yep,
realizes that they're about to sterilize a woman, not because there's something wrong with her, but because the way her vagina makes men feel.
Yep.
Right? They're trying to protect her from whatever sort of attacks from men or whatever, as opposed to looking at it being a men's problem.
Yep.
And then the moment when he realized, when that hits him, is one of the great moments. And it's one of the great moments, I think, in cinema.
Yeah, I love my friend movie Sheila so much.
One of these days we have to get Sheila on and just like...
Let's do.
Let's just talk about like a film. My friend Sheila O'Malley. Yeah. If you're not familiar, SheilaO'Malley.com. If you're prepared to have a truly immersive... If you're prepared to not come out from your computer for about six weeks, go to SheilaO'Malley.com. She's the smartest...
Don't scare them. She's the smartest person. You can dive in and dive out.
She's also one of the head critics at RogerEbert.com. Mm-hmm. She's a film critic. But her writing's on film and acting and stuff like that. She and I have talked about this moment. It's a moment that I wish that they would show in schools.
Oh, yeah.
When they teach sex education or those sorts of things in school, schools, social studies.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that moment. It's an extraordinary moment with this awareness on this man's face of, oh, shit.
Well, it is that moment, you know, too, because she has such shame about her sexuality.
This movie's more than 20 years old, and we're still having this conversation.
Right. But it's interesting because it's the same thing gay people would have. Mm-hmm. Like, shame about our expression, shame about our bodies, shame about...
But it's not our shame. It's somebody else's shame.
It's somebody else's shame. Well, I say shame on the Supreme Court right now.
I say shame, 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 shame. Shame on you.
Mm.
If you can't dance, too.
So we've obviously given you a lot of suggestions of television to watch.
Vicious. Go see Brigadoon at the Goodman.
Last Tango in Halifax.
Yep.
And
Snow Falls, Miami.
Yes. Yes. And we will continue to watch this Hobby Lobby story unfold. We're going to have news on it every week. But go Pat Quinn. Let's get behind this.
Yes, right.
Let's get this. Let's do state this. By state. Do this. Go have a nap.
Oh, my God. Sleep.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.